Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
I will go with me to the book of 2 Timothy this morning. 2 Timothy, and I want to give you a little thought out of here. 2 Timothy chapter number 4 today. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, you pray for us as we preach this morning. And as soon as I'm done preaching this morning, me and Miss Leslie is going to slide out and run to the hospital in between the services today. So if you will, excuse us, Brother Elijah, Miss Maddie will shake hands this morning. And if you've got any complaints about the preaching, you let them know, all right? 2 Timothy chapter number, Miss Maddie will take care of it, amen? 2 Timothy chapter number 4 this morning. And I want to give you a little thought out of here. And I've been studying the past couple weeks on some things. And this really stemmed out of a message on Thursday evening. I'm going to be talking to our young people. And I don't get to do that much anymore, but we're going to be at the cabin, and I'm going to do devotions with them Thursday evening, and I'm going to talk to them about David's brothers and some things that David's brothers missed out on. I believe this. I said this in prayer meeting last night. I believe any one of David's brothers could have killed Goliath if they wanted to. The problem was they ran in fear. And God used David because David wanted to be used by God. And I say this to you this morning in passing, God will use you if you'll allow him to use you. Amen. But in studying that, I ended up here also. I want to give you a little thought. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's word. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. The Bible said in verse number 9, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia." I'm interested in verse number 10, where the Bible said, "Demas hath forsaken me." Father, I pray that over the next few minutes, Lord, that you would help us, Father, to recall the things that we've studied. God, you know the need of the service today. And God, I really believe I'm exactly where you want me at in the Scriptures today. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would use us today. I pray, God, that you would help me to recall the things that I've studied. And God, I really believe that you want to speak to somebody's heart today. God, I pray that through the preaching of thy word, Lord, that they wouldn't allow, Lord, your word and your Holy Spirit, God, to pass by them. But I pray, God, that it would find a lodging place deep down inside of their heart and in their soul. I pray that if there's any here lost, God, that you would save them today. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise and give you the glory and give you the honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Miss Leslie, if you'll get my phone, I put that in my pocket going into Sunday school in case Brother Robert needed me. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, Timothy is writing to us. And Timothy begins, or not Timothy, Paul is writing to us. And Paul begins to talk about not only Demas forsaking him, but others. Matter of fact, he goes on to say in verse 16, "And my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me." He goes on to say in verse 17, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me." And let me just say this in passing. I'm glad that even though others may turn their backs on us, that God will stand with us. Amen. He will be there for us. I'm interested in this man by the name of Demas. Whenever you study his name out, you'll find that the name Demas means this. It means of the people. Whenever you continue studying it out and the meaning of his name out, you'll find that the meaning of the name simply means this. He was worried about what the people had to say about him and worried about being part of the people. He was of the people. And I just want to say this to you in passing today. It'll be a really good day in your life when you quit worrying about what everybody else is saying about you. You say, well, preacher, I'm worried about this and I'm worried about that. Hear me and hear me well. I know God saved me. I know God called me to preach. I know God's got me right where He wants me at. I know what I stand on. I know what I'm not going to change on. You can say whatever you want to say. I'm going to go on and serve God. And he was of the people. He was worried about the people. Now, Demas here, we find that he forsakes Paul and goes back to, the Bible said, the world during this time. Whenever you study the name Demas out and you study this man by the name of Demas out in the Bible, you'll find that there is three other times that Demas is mentioned. One of them is in Colossians chapter 4, and he is mentioned as a companion. Demas mentioned with Luke, sent greetings to the church of Colossae. You'll also find that he is mentioned in Philemon chapter number 1 in verse number 24. And the Bible calls Demas a fellow laborer. And what he is a co-worker. He's not only a companion, but he is a co-worker. Can I say it this way? Evidently, by those two passages of Scripture, there was a time that Demas was living in the will of God. There was a time that Demas was helping the servants of God. There was a time that Demas was a fellow laborer in the things of God. But when we come to this passage, the last time that he's mentioned, he's not a companion, he's not a co-worker, but he is a casualty in the service of God. You say, preacher, that word casualty is a military term. Can I say to you today, we are in a battle today. It is a battleground. Ever since Genesis chapter number 3, it's been a battleground. And until the day we get called home to be with the Lord, it will be a battleground. I want to say this to you today. Your heart's desire should be to be a companion and a co-worker, but to never be a casualty in the service of God. He's a casualty man. What did the Bible say? The Bible said this, that Demas hath forsaken me. Demas hath forsaken me. I want to say to you today, I'm not interested in quitting. I'm not interested in throwing in the towel. Somebody say amen. I'm not interested in going another direction. Just in the past week or so, man, there has been so much junk on social media and preachers that came up with me, that cut their teeth preaching with me. I'm telling you, they've gone a different direction. I'll say just what they are. They're compromisers today. I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in becoming a casualty. I'm not interested in getting my eyes on the world. But what I am interested in is finishing the course that God has for me and finishing well. And finishing well. He was a casualty. And I asked you a question this morning, then I'm going to give you a couple little points and run to the hospital. Will you become a casualty in the service of God? I guarantee you, if you say, well, preacher, Demas came back and made everything right, it's not recorded. This is it. We don't hear nothing else from him. I'll talk to you about his legacy in just a minute, what he left behind. But I guarantee you, if we could sit down with Demas as he's writing and talking about Onesimus, and you that knows your Bible knows what that story of Philemon. I guarantee you Demas would say something like this. Paul, I'll never forsake you. Paul, I'm going all the way with you. Paul, I'm going to finish this fight with you, man. I'm going to stay faithful. I'm going to stay faithful to God. I'm going to stay faithful to the things of God. But boy, here we read about the casualty of Demas. I thought about this yesterday. I spent 99% of the day in the office. Early yesterday morning, me and Brother Mark done some things here at the church, and I ran home and took a shower, and I came back, and from then till late last night, I was in the office studying. And I got to thinking about this, Brother Stan, over 18 years, I'm closing out. The end of this month will be the end of 18 years pastoring here, and I'll start the 19th year. And I thought about this as I look back over those 18 years. There's been some casualties. There's been some that sung in the choir that is no longer in church today. There's been some that sang special songs and they're no longer in church today. There's been some that has worked with our youth group in 18 years and today they're not in the house of God. They're not serving God. They're casualties in the service of God. I'm going to ask you a question there. Are you going to become a casualty? I want to say this to you. I don't think Demas woke up one day and said, "That's it, I quit." You don't quit something spare of the moment. But something had been rolling in Demas's mind. Let me tell you something, a person just don't all of a sudden quit church. But it starts gradually with little things. And I know it's Sunday morning, so you just stay with me right here a minute. But those that are faithful, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival meeting, special meeting, they're faithful to the things of God. They just don't walk away from church. But here's where it starts at. 18 years, I've seen it a few times. All of a sudden, they miss Sunday school one Sunday. Everybody hearing the preacher this morning? I come to preach, all right? If I preach 2 o'clock, I just preach 2 o'clock. I'm not in no hurry now. I'm going to preach till I get done, all right? That's where it starts at. All of a sudden, and can I just say something to you? Sunday school's important. You're to go to Sunday school. We got the greatest Sunday school teachers there is in the country. You're to go to Sunday school, man. Preacher, I just can't get up. That's your own fault. This is what you're saying. Me laying in the bed is more important than getting my family to the church house and learning more about Him. And then all of a sudden, it's Wednesday night. It's the way it starts. Well, there's a Wednesday night and they're not there. And then there's another Wednesday night and they're not there. They'll miss Wednesday and be there a few and miss a Wednesday. Then all of a sudden, it's a Wednesday night and a Wednesday night. Then all of a sudden, it's a Sunday night. And then all of a sudden, they're gone. Matter of fact, I was talking to one of the deacons this week. And I was talking to him about a family in the church that I'm worried about. And here's what I said. I said, for 3 weeks, they've not been in Sunday school. And I said, they're starting to miss Wednesday night services. And I said, you know what the next step is? They'll be out the door. They'll be a casualty. They'll walk away. Is anybody hearing the preacher this morning? Demas, man, he was a co-laborer. He was a companion. He was in the service of God. He was doing right. But something went wrong. Demas hath forsaken. Number one this morning, I want you to see Demas leaving. Demas leaving. I'll give you two or three things and we'll go. Number one, Demas leaving. Here in the context, we see Demas leaving the work of God. The word forsaken here literally means to leave or to abandon. Demas literally leaves and abandons the apostle of Paul. Besides the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest preacher that ever walked in shoe leather, had more of an impact on the world than anybody else beside the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does Demas do? He abandons him. He leaves him. I wrote this down as I was studying this week. Wonder what caused it. Why? Wonder what caused it. I went to numerous different authors and read on Demas, and here's what one said. What appeal of the world finally overcame Demas's heart? Was it the lust of the flesh? Was it the lust of the eyes? Was it the pride of life? Was it an unsaved woman? Was it a safer pulpit? Was it the fear of men? Was it the thought that Paul was too fanatical in both belief and behavior? All we know is that Demas went to Thessalonica. Maybe his wife was some social climber and had already departed for Thessalonica, where the stigma of being a Christian was not pronounced as was in Rome. Maybe being a Christian would be less of a hindrance to her ambitions there. What was it that pulled Demas away? I don't know what it was, but I know this, it did. Demas forsook, I'm going to say something to you and don't fall out with me. Demas forsook the man of God, and in doing that, he forsook God. And you listen to what I'm fixing to say. If the preacher's in the Bible, he's preaching the right doctrine. He's preaching the gospel. Somebody ought to say amen. I know it's hard for me to preach, me being a preacher here, but I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You need to get behind him if he's doing right. Well, I don't agree with what he done on this and what he done on that and what he done on this. Well, you know what? We're all human. We don't agree with our own self half the time. What we must agree on is this book right here. And if he's preaching the right thing and he's teaching the right thing and he's putting the right people in leadership, the best thing to do is forget about all those picky things and go to church and back the man of God. His leaving, number one, his leaving. Number two, this is where I want to look at for just a minute. Not only do you see Demas's leaving, I want you to note Demas's love with me. This word is found in our text. He said, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having," here it is, "loved this present world." He said he loved the world. The first thing that I thought of whenever I read that was what the Bible said. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What did the Bible say about Demas? Said that he loved the world. Got to looking towards the world. I began to study this, and the Bible said that Demas loved this present world. Whenever you study it out, the word translated love here is a Greek word, agape. It's a very interesting word. Demas was not just fond of the world or merely infatuated with the world. He was in love with the world, is what the Bible said. This word agape means this. It means to love, especially in the sense of a commitment, willful, selfless, and sacrificial love. You're going to study it out. It refers to an active love, the kind that does something for the good of another regardless of the feelings or circumstances. Regardless of the feelings or circumstances. Matter of fact, whenever you study the word agape out, you'll find that it is also mentioned in John chapter number 3, verse number 16. And here's what the Bible said. For God so agape, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You also find that it is mentioned in Matthew chapter number 22, where the Bible said this, thou shalt love, agape, thou shalt love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. You'll find that it's mentioned in Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 25, where the Bible said, husbands, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church. Your love for your wife is to be an agape love. You say, preacher, what are you saying today? Here's what I am saying. Demas had the right kind of love, but he had it for the wrong thing. He had the kind of love he had been taught to have. He had been taught to love with a selfless love. He had been taught to love with a sacrificial love. He had been taught to love. But he turned his love towards the wrong thing. What did Demas love? He loved the world. Listen to what the Bible goes on to say. The word translated world in this verse does not refer to the physical planet on which we live. It can also be translated age when you study it out in the Greek. It refers, listen to me, to this present span of time. So the affection of Demas were now taken up with this life, this present brief passing moment. He had lost sight of the world to come and was only living for this present moment. Demas's love. Let me tell you the reason Demas left. Because his love was for the wrong thing. You say, preacher, I love nothing more than God. I love nothing more than the things of God. We'll see that tonight at 5 o'clock if it's true. You say, preacher, I'm just being honest with you. Preacher, I'm not going nowhere. I'll go with you to the end. I'm going to stick with you. You know what? Demas probably said the same thing. But all of a sudden, Demas got to looking at this present time. Is that not the world we live in today? Live it up while you can. Tomorrow may never come. Do whatever pleases you. Do whatever pleases your flesh. Do the things that brings happiness to you. Just trust your heart and do whatever brings happiness to you. The dumbest advice you can ever give anybody is to trust their heart. Because the Bible says it's wicked. If I ever hear somebody giving our young people that advice, you know what I do? I pull them to the side and say, you need to go home and read the Word of God, because that's completely contrary to the Word of God. The Word of God says no man can trust it. Demas got to looking at this present age, at what was happening right now, with what gain he could get right now. And he got his eyes on this present world. And though he was taught to love the right way, he loved the wrong thing. He loved the wrong thing. When you stop living for the world to come and start living for the world now, you'll become a casualty. We don't do it for our gain today. We live for the day that we stand in the presence of a holy God. Number one, Demas is leaving. Number two, Demas is love. Number three, I'm done. Demas is legacy. What did Demas leave behind? You know, I thought about this. Do you care to just come start playing softly? I thought about this. If I died today, today is July the 13th. Am I right on that? Caleb said, I don't know. July the 13th. That boy's smart right there. July the 13th. You can ask him what 42 minus 15 plus 19 squared 3 times is, and he'll tell you, though. He's a walking calculator. July the 13th, 2025. If I die today, I hope I don't. I really can't wait for meeting this week. I can't wait to preach tonight. I can't wait for meeting this week. But if here in just a few minutes, I'm going to walk out those doors, I'm going to run home, and I'm going to grab something and probably put it on a plate and eat it driving up the road, go to the hospital. When we leave the hospital and start back, Miss Leslie will probably drive, and I'll finish writing my outline down just because it's been one of those weeks, and it's just all right here, and I ain't got it down on the paper yet. And if something happens to me and I die, number one, I hope you cry for 7 days because you miss me so bad. My funeral's going to go 2 days.
I'm going to lay in state for 2 days for people to come by and mourn over me. I ain't going to be opened up. It's just going to be a picture of me. That's what my daddy always says. He says, my funeral is going to be 7 days. I want y'all to cry and cry and cry. Watch this. If I die today, you're going to have my funeral. Listen to me. Don't you cancel meeting this week. If you do, I'm going to be reincarnated. And I'm going to be one of them little black mosquitoes with white dots on it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I call them Dalmatian mosquitoes. And I'm going to come back and I'm going to bite you. Oh, it's going to be awful. Don't you cancel meeting this week. After meeting, then have my funeral. Okay? Man, this is bad. I'm planning my own funeral. Leslie knows who to preach it. Caleb's going to do a math trick at it. If I die, I don't know if I'll be buried here. They'll bury me somewhere else. My wife probably won't stay here at this church. She'll probably go back home and find somewhere else, marry some guy, and spend all my money. But watch this. Wherever they bury me, there's going to be a tombstone. And on that tombstone, it's going to say June 27th, 1978. You know what? There's going to be very, very few people that remember that. My wife probably will. My mom, my dad, maybe my sister. I doubt the girls even will. Then on the other side, it's going to say this, July the 14th, 13th, that's today, the 13th, 2025. You know what? There's going to be a few that remembers that. You hearing me? There'll be a few. My wife probably will till she marries somebody else, and then she'll forget about me. She won't even ever come put flowers on my grave. It'll probably have weeds growed up around it. I come back, and Jesus comes back to get us in the rapture. It'll take me 5 seconds longer to get going because all the stuff I got to come through. Well, they didn't take care of my grave. Watch this. At the end is going to be that day. Very few people is ever going to remember either one of those dates. But in the middle of those two dates is something everybody that's ever met me will remember. You know what it is? A dash. A dash. And you know what that dash is? That dash is my life. The people that's heard me preach, the people that I've pastored, they're going to remember that dash. And I want to ask you a question. What's your dash going to say? What's your dash going to say? Is it going to say something like this? They started right. A little trouble come, a little hardship come, and they throwed in the towel and quit and went to the house. Is it going to say this, or is it going to say that? Or is it going to say something like this? Well, I remember when they got saved. Yeah, they had some hard times. There was some bumps in the road. But they prayed and fasted and begged God to help them. And God brought them through it. They come out on the other side stronger than they was when they went into it. They touched my life. They influenced my life. Whenever they died, they were still living right. The dash is going to say something. You've got a legacy. What was his? Well, something like this. Disappointment, departure, disaster. Something like this. He left a great man. He left a great ministry. He left a great moment. He was recorded in other places in good standings, but his last record is that the work went on without him. What a moment to desert. What a man to desert. What a mission to desert. You see, it's more than just you. And let me finish what I'm saying before you judge me. It's more than just Christ that you affect. You will break his heart. But let me tell you where the greatest damage is done at. Right here. What a moment to desert. What a man to desert. What a mission to desert. Paul was hurt. Listen to me. But the ministry went on. And you study what Paul did after Demas left him. I studied it out yesterday. The ministry went on. Demas could have had a part in every bit of that. But he loved this present age more than he loved the things of God. Here's the title of what I'm going to teach the young people. God would do it without you, but he'd rather do it with you. The work of God went on without Demas. Listen, you can leave the church. Don't you understand what I'm fixing to say? The work of God's going to go on. The work of God's going to go on. You can abandon your position, and you know what God will do? God will put somebody else in it. I've seen it over and over and over again. I don't want you to. I don't want you to abandon. I've never been excited about nobody leaving. But what I'm saying is this. If you love this present world, then you can go to it. But the work of God's going to go on. John chapter number 6. It's an interesting chapter. In the beginning of John chapter number 6, Jesus probably has between 15 and 30,000 followers. We know this. We know that there's 5,000 men that he feeds. Give them a wife. Give them a kid. That's 15,000. More than likely, you that knows your Bible, knows manners and customs, they had more than one kid. So, probably, I would say, we could probably say 25 to 30,000 followers very easily that Jesus had. You get to the end of John chapter number 6. You know how many followers Jesus has? 12. And one of them's a devil. One of them's fixing to betray him. He goes from 25, 30,000 followers in one chapter to truly 11. Because one's a devil and he's fixing to forsake him. And he says, I'm not quoting it verbatim, but he says this, will you go away also? He looks at him and says, you gonna go away also? So I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Will you go away also? Demas hath forsaken. Having loved the right kind of love, this present world, the wrong place, the wrong area, this present age, this life's going to be over. Listen, this life's going to be over. Jesus is coming. I know you're ready to go home, and I'm going to obey the Lord this morning. Jesus is coming. And if he doesn't, but he is, if he does it soon, we're not promised our next breath. This is it. This is it. I used to play, some of y'all will not understand this, but some will. The very first Nintendo Duck Hunter had that pistol. Still the greatest game of all times. And you know what, Brother Elijah? You probably don't even know what I'm talking about. I forgot he's a whole lot younger than I am. But if I didn't like the outcome of my hunt, you know what I would do? Reset. Reset. Remember playing Mario Brothers? And when you jumped over that tube and you didn't hit it to go down in it, to get all them tokens, what would you do? Reset. You'd start all over again. Hear me. There's no reset in life. When you close your eyes in death, that's it. What's the dash going to say? What's the dash going to say? I looked at my daddy this week and here's what I told him. I said, before I compromise, I'll quit. That's what I told him. I said, before I change my Bible, before I change my stance on music, before I change my dress in the pulpit, I'll quit. I respect God too much to make a mockery, blaspheming. I'm telling you, that's what it is, blaspheming. I question if some of them's even saved anymore. I'll quit. Why? Because I want my dash to be right. Demas hath forsaken me. Father.